Going to tush push. Let's see if it works with Tanner McKay. They shove, they push, and he's in for the touchdown. Tush push number one of the 2025 season.
And it worked.
We're back. The tush push and great quarterback play last night. Of course, Tanner McKay was the one providing it. Welcome back. Midday show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Jill. We'll get back to all your phone calls. A Tri-Day Friday. Joining us right now in studio, Elliot Shore Parks. Elliot, how did it feel being in a football game, an Eagles game last night?
I mean, training camp and preseason is the best time of the year. I love it. I love the roster battles. And like last night, I go into last night thinking, man, Johnny Wilson might not make the team. And then last night he has an awesome game and things change. So, I thought last night was amazing.
All right, let's talk about the star of the show and then we'll get to all the other elements, including some not great things on the defensive side. But we start with Tanner McKay. Tanner time last night, he was excellent. I mean, I thought there were a couple plays that were almost picked off, but other than like a couple mistakes, he was like perfect. 20 of 25, three touchdowns, including the tush push. How good do you think Tanner McKay is at this point?
I think Tanner McKay is special. We had a chance last year, me and Hugh. Tanner was on the players' lounge, and you know, I get to see him in a different element. I'm in the locker room. I see him at practice. People don't get to see. He's really, really good. And I think what there is like about Tanner is twofold. One, there's Tanner, the player. I think he throws a really accurate ball. He gets it out on time. He throws with anticipation. I thought last night he did a really good job moving in the pocket. And what's good about him, I think, for a young quarterback is a lot of times if you're a young quarterback and you have the ability to run and make plays with your legs, you have to learn to keep your eyes down the field when the pocket collapses, because normally you just take off. Tanner does a really good job, because he's not the athlete that can hurt teams with his legs, of keeping his eyes down the field. So I think you saw that last night. Then there's Tanner off the field, because as we know, when you're a quarterback, who you are off the field really matters. And Tanner is popular in the locker room. Guys gravitate towards him. He's super smart. Like, him and Jalen have a good relationship in terms of watching film. So if you remove all the, you know, backup quarterback elements of this, just as a player, if the Eagles did not have Jalen Hurts on the roster, I would feel confident Tanner could be their next franchise quarterback.
Well, with that, Elliot, I'm going to add one extra thing to what you brought. It's an incredible development story.
Yes.
I can't think of a quarterback that's been good in the NFL that had very little college production in terms of statistics or wins. He won six games total at Stanford. I mean, Elliot, this breaks the mold. If they can find a quarterback that didn't do much in college and make him into a legitimate player, that's an incredible coaching story for the Eagles.
It's an incredible coaching story, and I thought last night, too, like the scouting department had a really good night. Not just with Tanner, but just all over the roster. You look at some UDFAs that had good games, but yeah, absolutely. Like, to get Tanner where they did, to develop him, and to have him now where I hear people saying they wouldn't trade him for a first-round pick.
I know, I mean, it's a lot.
It's very impressive, for sure.
Well, I mean, Elliot, I don't think the Eagles are going to move him because he's their backup and they're trying to win a Super Bowl and there's value to that. But if a first-round pick came across their desk, I mean, he's out of here tomorrow.
I'd be foolish.
Do think everyone needs to take a little bit of a deep breath.
I'm trying.
A second-round pick would be... That's an unbelievable return for Tanner McKay. So while I understand not wanting to trade him, and I understand the value of the backup, if you told me I could get a second for Tanner and I could go get Kenny Pickett or Jameis Winston for a fifth, I think that's something you absolutely have to consider.
I would do it in a heartbeat.
So what else stuck out to you last night? You know, we were watching the game a little bit. So what else, either good or bad, stuck out to you last night?
So I thought good. The receivers were really impressive. And the backup receivers have not been great in camp so far. Outside of AJ and Devontae, who we know are great, and Jahan Dotson's been good in camp. Johnny Wilson hasn't been good in camp. And Anaya Smith, I don't think, has been good in camp. And they both had really good games last night. Johnny Wilson showed you exactly what you want to see from a receiver like him. He's tall, win those 50-50 catches, and that's what he did last night. Anaya Smith, if he's going to be an NFL player, he has got to get open quickly at the line of scrimmage, and he's got to be a special teams player. And he did both of those things last night. So that was good. And then Darius Cooper, to me, is what training camp is all about. This guy was a UDFA. No one even heard of him. He's from, what is it? Is it Tarleton State? Tarleton State? Yeah, he went to college. And now he is someone that I'm not sure you could cut him. Like, I don't know what his special physical ability is. You look at Johnny Wilson, he has elite size. Some players have elite speed. I don't know if he has either of those things. But he is extremely good at football. Watching him every day in practice, he makes the most of his opportunities. And talking to him after the game, a very impressive and likable person. Like, he's somebody from you know, being around him last night, someone you want to bet on. And so if you're the Eagles, you have this guy on your roster. Jahan Dotson is a free agent after the year. Like, you got to start thinking about developing these guys for down the road. I would not risk putting him on waivers and losing him, especially if he continues to play like this in the next two preseason games.
I like Cooper a lot. There's something about the way he runs when he catches the ball. It's a little different than most receivers.
Yeah, and you know, he's somebody that, A, you don't want to have a receiver that you need to manufacture to get open. I thought that was kind of the issue with Jalen Reagor. Jalen Reagor, you had to find ways to get him the ball, whereas you couldn't just put him on the outside and ask him to get open. I don't know if Darius Cooper can just be put on the outside and get open, but I do know he has shown enough where I am interested in trying to develop that part of his game.
It's all right. Tarleton State.
Tarleton?
So
Tarleton. And put up huge numbers there, but obviously he didn't get a... Most teams didn't look at him because it was a smaller school.
Yeah, his numbers were crazy.
Crazy.
Not just there, but I think in all of college football, he was near the high... Now he's playing a lesser competition, but a lot of his numbers were highly ranked.
All right, let's go to the other side of the football. Elliot, there's some issues on defense, and I understand the Bengals are playing. They're some of the best players in the league, right? Jamar Chase is as good as anyone in the league. Joe Burrow, same thing. That being said, the Kelee Ringo thing, I mean, he did not look good last night. And Elliot, there was a play where Chase catches the ball in front of him and he has to come up and make a tackle, right? Like, All right, Chase is going to make a million catches. That's fine. But come up and make the tackle, and he totally whiffed there. I thought it was a bad night for Kelee Ringo.
So I don't think the Jamar Chase thing is an excuse to me, because we can say he's maybe the best receiver in the NFL, which is true. But guess what? A lot of teams have really good receivers. Mm-hmm. This is not 10, 15 years ago where, you know, teams had one really good receiver and you figured it out from there. A lot of teams have two really, if three, really good receivers.
Well,
now.
Week one, they're going to see George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb.
Correct.
And then it's Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams. And then obviously the Chiefs guys week two.
The Bucks might have, if not the best receiving core in the NFL, they're certainly in the top five. So there are going to be weeks, a majority of weeks, where Kelee has to cover good receivers. And so while it is Jamar Chase, Kelee has to start fixing incompletions. When I watch him in practice, he's a big time, wow, that was a good coverage by Kelee, but great catch. Like, eventually, your job as a corner is to make sure it's incomplete, not just to have great coverage and make them take tough catches. So I thought last night was concerning for Kelee. And while that play you talk about, the touchdown he gave up, that could have been me or you out there. Like, we're not running for the touchdown, but the angle he took, it didn't matter it was Jamar Chase. Like, he took a bad angle, and that guy got free because of it. So I walk away from last night feeling concerned about the defense. And it's not just Kelee. Sidney Brown is out there. He might start. Jeremiah Charter Jr. is out there. He might start. Josh Uche and Azeez Ojulari are going to play key roles for this team. They were out there. Like, it can't all just be, well, when Quinyon Cooper and Jalen Carter play, everything will be better. Because Quinyon and Cooper are going into their second year. It is hard in the NFL to have a great second year. You're great your first year. The league adjusts to you. So if the Eagles' plan of defense is to make sure Quinyon is an elite shutdown corner every single week against the best receivers in the NFL, that's a tall order. If they're going to ask Cooper DeJean to play two positions and be elite at it, that's a tall order. Jalen Carter, they're expecting him to be like the best defensive player in the NFL. That's asking a lot of these guys. And so the players who are on the field last night are going to be important players, and I don't think they played well.
What did you see from Jahad Campbell last night?
So Jahad obviously should have had the interception. It's not, I don't think it was an egregious drop. Like, it is a tough play, but it is a play you would like to see him make. I thought it was interesting he didn't start. It was weird to me that Smile Mondon Jr. was out there and Jeremiah Trotter Jr., and then Campbell goes in next. Fangio does do weird things sometimes with the depth chart and those, you know, and players, but I thought that was weird. But outside of that, without the chance to rewatch the game yet, I didn't think he stood out in a negative way.
So the depth chart, and that's interesting about him coming in after Mondon, after Trotter. Obviously, there's Zach Bond. Do you think that's any signal that maybe Jahad Campbell's not going to play as quickly as we think? Or are we reading too much into when he came in last night?
I just refuse to believe Smile Mondon Jr. will play over Jahad Campbell in week one. And that's not even an anti-Mondon Jr. thing. I think he's really good. I think he's an NFL player. Jahad Campbell was your first-round pick. Like, he should be playing over Trotter, too. So If we get to week one and Jahad's on the sideline with Smile Mondon Jr. playing and Trotter Jr., and that's the other thing. I don't think the Eagles are concerned about Zach Bond's back, but he's now missed probably about half of training camp with a back injury.
Patty back.
Like, are we sure he's going to be an all-pro linebacker again? So, no, but Jahad Campbell should start week one.
All right, you mentioned Elliot Sherparkson with us here, that you're concerned after last night watching the defense. You tweeted last night, after 10 practices in a preseason game, you think the Eagles need to be in the market for a veteran safety and edge and potentially another cornerback. That's a lot to have to need or want before the season.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, we haven't touched on the safety position yet. I thought Sidney did some good things last night. He had a nice play where he ran up and met the running back in the hole, brought him down. He did miss a tackle on the opening drive. He got there and slowed the runner down, but it was still a missed tackle. One concern I have with Sidney, outside of just the development he needs to play more, is if this guy's going to play 150 miles an hour, he's going to be involved in a lot of collisions.
Sure.
A lot of, like, you know, big time collisions. And he's somebody that has struggled to stay on the field. You saw last night, he's in the medical tent. Now, afterwards, he seemed fine. He seemed in good spirits, but he's now missed quite a bit of time in his career with injury. So the safety spot, you know, they got to go acquire a veteran there. Even if you want to play Makuba week one and you want to play Sidney and give them a chance, what are you going to do if that's not working out 2 or 3 weeks in? So go get somebody now that has played, you know, 3,000 snaps in the NFL, that's played 4,000 snaps, someone that at least raises the floor of that position. So, yeah, I thought Sidney himself had some good and bad, but I think it just highlighted they really need to go get a veteran there.
I think we brought this up before with you, and unfortunately, CJ GJ got hurt yesterday. Hopefully not as severe as first reported, but he got banged up in Texans camp. One thing we haven't asked you, I don't think I've asked specifically, do you think they're going to regret letting Slay walk?
So it's
Slay
so
was still a good player, and players liked him here, and he's just gone over a couple dollars, and he's a Steeler.
Yeah, so last night when I got home, one of the first things I did was look up Slay's contract to see if they could trade for Slay, right? So
Now we're back.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I don't think the Steelers would trade him. He is a very tradable contract, but I don't think there's a reunion coming there. But I would absolutely trade for Slay if I were them.
Like, well, if they get off to a bad start, that could be a trade deadline thing.
Yeah, and they acquired Jalen Ramsey, I think, since they signed Slay, if I'm right on the time there. So if I were the Eagles and I could get Slay for a fourth, like, I would do it. I think they could. Now, we talked so much in the offseason about the free agents they lost. I think the one player they lost that they are surprised they lost is Isaiah Rodgers. I think they expected to re-sign Isaiah Rodgers. And because they didn't, that's different than losing Josh Sweat, Milton Williams. They expected to lose those guys. They knew they weren't going to be back. When you create a plan and that plan is altered because you lose someone, then you're in panic mode. So you sign Adoree Jackson. You trade for Ja'Quarion Bennett. So, I think they need a corner for sure. Now we'll see with Bennett, obviously.
Right.
But
is that the next? You think that's the next part of this plan, or now the new plan is to get him first team reps this coming week?
Yeah, so he should practice tomorrow. I'd be pretty surprised if he gets first team reps tomorrow. If he gets first team reps tomorrow, then maybe Adoree's not making the team, and you know, it's like something could be bad for those two. But I think they want to get him up to speed as soon as possible. But even him, you know, let's not act like he's a proven NFL player. He's played well, and I think he's a player to be excited about, and I like the trade. But he has played, 13, 14 games in the NFL?
He doesn't have a whole lot of run.
He missed half the year last year with the shoulder injury. So, again, the Eagles are a Super Bowl contending team that are supposed to be one of the best teams in the NFL, and you're asking Ja'Quarion Bennett to come in and be the missing piece? Like, he could do it, but that's a risk.
What did you think of the running backs last night? I like the way Shipley ran. And A.J. Dillon, I mean, I know we've known him. He's been in the league a while, but he didn't play last year. It was just nice for me to see him in a real game, breaking some tackles. And because it's different in practice. They're not going to take him to the ground. I mean, he looks like the guy he was with the Packers a few years ago.
Yeah, I agree. Again, just good to see him out there. Good to see him healthy. I thought Will Shipley obviously looked way better than A.J. Dillon. That run he had was really impressive. I think Shipley's a player, and it's funny, last year he had the long run against the Bengals, then he does it again last night against the Bengals. But A.J. Dillon, to me, it'll be interesting to see what they do with him on the roster, because he is somebody that if you cut him, he does not go through waivers. You can add him back to the practice squad, probably give him a little bonus or check or whatever to get him to do that. But yeah, I think the running back position is better than it was last year, and part of that too is, I know he didn't play last night, Saquon Barkley looks unbelievable in training camp. I think he looks better in this camp than he did in last year's camp. So he looks set for, I don't think this is going to be a Saquon rest up for the playoffs year. I think Saquon is going to be unbelievable again.
Look at Elliott trying to hide people on the practice squad.
Well, and this is what
AJ Dillon doesn't want to hear that.
He's thinking through the roster. That's what he's here for. All right, Elliott, we appreciate you hopping on what afternoon today?
Of course, 3 to 4.
3 to 4 with Elliott on the afternoon show. All right, there he goes. Before we let you go, though, I got a question for you. I'm going to my first union game tomorrow night.
You are? I will be there.
Well, you're going to be there, too.
Yes.
I need to, like, give me a sense of what it's going to be like.
I mean, it's awesome. It's one of, if not the best environments in Philly sports. It's out there. You got to get out to Chester. But when you're there, it's great. And they're in first place in the entire MLS. So they're a great team. My advice to you would be get there early. They have a nice little beer garden out there. And I'm excited for you to experience it. It's, you know, they're one of the best teams in the city.
I don't give a shit
Well, I'm excited.
Well, you're not invited. You're not. So it doesn't matter.
This is so,
yeah, exactly.
This is so disrespectful.
Yeah, he was not invited either. We're just us.
Yeah, they're better than the Flyers right now, I can tell you.
Well,
that.
That's for sure. Yeah. All right, Elliot, we appreciate it. Elliot back on at 3 o'clock today with the afternoon show. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Chris and Ambler talking Tanner time. Tanner McKee. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's
hey,
up, Chris?
What's up?
Yo, thank you guys for having me. I'm like, it's a split decision for me. I think I'm on the Jalen Hurts train. I think Tanner looked great. I think he could be great, but I don't think he's getting into the playoffs. I think you've got Jalen Hurts battle tested, and I think that hasn't come up, you know.
Well, Chris, I feel that too, and there's also
yeah, we've been kind of talking about it all morning.
There's elements of this, like we can watch a guy in a short sample, and then over a long sample, it changes. Defenses adjust. I think if they needed a Tanner for 3 or 4 games, similar to Hugh bringing up AJ Feely in 2002. I think they could get through 3 weeks or a month. But if he had to play an entire season, I think we're going a little overboard how good he is right now.
I agree. Yeah, I think you've got the fire under Jalen where it's like lost the Super Bowl, get back to the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl. Like he knows what he's doing. He's calling the shots. I think that you just got more of the team leader energy there. I think Tanner's got a good energy. I think he's a good QB2. You know what I mean?
That's exactly what he is. See, I'm trying to tell Hugh over here, but he's leading the Tanner Brigade.
Nobody, I know, yeah.
Nobody
you just threw some shade at me. We were talking about it all morning. Because
nobody hears what's said.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Well, what they hear is Hugh Douglas believes Tanner's close to as good as Jalen Hurts. That's what people hear.
Is that what they hear,
That's
Joe?
What I heard. I mean, I'm just telling you what I heard.
And I was right, by the way, last night,
about
too.
About what?
About the people, the individuals that wear jerseys to games that neither team is playing.
Yeah,
we
people.
Saw like 3 or 4 jerseys out there last night. No team was playing in this stadium.
I saw Washington. I saw Dallas. Yeah, I saw a few of those.
And I'm like, why are you here? Yeah. Wearing a jersey of the team that's not even playing in
go,
the stadium.
Go home is basically what you were saying.
Basically.
Chris, what do you got for us? Try day, put Hugh into a famous role.
If we put Hugh into the role of Jack in Titanic, I think you've got a pretty good masterpiece there.
Oh, Hugh's not going in the water.
Well, there's no shot
that,
Hugh's in the water.
And you best believe Rose she giving up half of that damn, whatever it was, the door. Oh, yeah, Rose, you're kicking her off.
There was plenty of room for Jack and there's room for Hugh, too.
Rose, you better get your ass over because I'm surviving this trip.
Good
I'm trying
call.
To.
See, here's the problem. You can't just take liberties with the role, Hugh. You have to play the role it's scripted.
Well, I assumed that if you're putting me in this role, I get to, in some way, shape, or form, be me.
Kyle, what do you think of that? I think Hugh's got to play
that's
the role.
That's not acting works.
You better get your ass over. You better share that piece of door.
That's not acting.
I got places I
you
have to be,
You just go
too.
In and be yourself.
You just destroyed Titanic. We may have understood now why you didn't make it as an A-list actor.
Man,
you
Rose,
have to play the role.
Rose,
not Hugh.
Rose was dead-ass Hugh wrong for the way she handled that, though.
Rose was dead-ass wrong.
She was dead wrong for that.
Rose, really, when you think about it, Rose was a villain in that movie.
Yeah, she's a selfish
individual. She played
individual.
The victim, but she was super selfish.
And then when she got old, she threw the necklace over the...
I know.
What's wrong with you, woman?
I hate Rose the more we talk through her. She's the worst. T in North Philly. What's up, T?
I'm sorry.
What's up? What's up?
Always good. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to talk some positivity on Eagles today.
What?
He's talking positivity.
Sound very excited.
All right, T, what do you think? If Tanner had to play the whole season, what
like
are we talking about?
Indica.
So Tanner takes the Eagles to the playoffs, but people fail to realize what the problem is. The Eagles with Jalen Hurts as the quarterback is the first best team in the NFC. The NFC is weak. You feel me? I feel like with Tanner McKee, the Eagles go from number 1 to like number 7. People fail to realize that 7 teams make the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? You got 3 wild cards.
He did the math.
He did the
math. When you sit there and talk about the 6 quarterbacks that win 10 games, the first 6 quarterbacks you named were all AFC quarterbacks. I had no doubt in my mind that Tanner McKee could get the Eagles to the playoffs.
Well, I mean, part of that was I was looking at the AFC standings first, and then I moved over to the NFC standings. I mean,
yeah, but when you got to the NFC, you only named 3 teams. The Seahawks was one of the teams that won 2 games.
Yeah, the better quarterbacks in the AFC.
Imagine if you threw the Bengals and Joe Burrow in the NFC South. You feel what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like Joe Burrow
but I don't think the NFC is as weak as you do. I mean, it doesn't have the quarterback play, obviously, you know, Mahomes and Allen and Burrow and Lamar.
But that's the thing, though, right?
But because these... Even when you, I don't think the NFC is as weak as you do. Washington is a good team. The whole North is good.
I'm also pivot to what Hugh said, right? People fail to realize that Jalen is a leader amongst boys, right? It's like everybody who came to the Eagles came to play with Jalen. A.J. Brown came, and he was happy to play with Jalen. Mm-hmm. Devontae Smith is happy to play with Jalen. Saquon came from a Giants organization and respected Saquon, but the first thing his daughter said is, damn, we get to win. The Eagles been a winning organization before Saquon. The running back 9 times out of 10 is the missing piece to a winning team already. No team can win with just these pieces. We've seen Patrick Mahomes, what he did in the Super Bowl with no O-line. You feel what I'm saying?
Right, you need a whole thing.
See, that's what he's talking about. You can't quantify the dynamicities that Jalen brings to the table.
Wait a second. Then what you should be saying.
You did say you were going to start making up words.
Now you threw me all off with dynamices. Is that dynamics plural?
It's dynamices. This is something. He's dynamic and it's just, it's
like
just layers.
It sounds like Greek mythology. Dynamices.
You in the meeting today goes, you know, I think I'm going to make up some words today.
Said it with a straight face, too.
Jalen is the leader of the team.
Oh, okay.
Now, don't get me wrong. Saquon is a leader in his own right. And A.J. Brown, even though we don't expect much from him on a week-to-week basis, he's a leader as well. So you don't think if Tanner was the quarterback, our other leaders would step up?
Yeah.
You probably realize that Jalen is the captain of the offense.
I agree. Hugh doesn't realize this. T, what do you got? What's a role you take the actor out, you put Hugh Douglas in?
Will Smith and Aladdin. Because I like Hugh's personality.
Aladdin, no.
Wait,
yeah.
The genie?
Actually, I could see that.
Wait, wasn't that? No, that was Robin Williams, wasn't it?
Will Smith did the Aladdin. Yeah. He did one, too.
Robin Williams was the original cartoon, like the Disney movie in the early 90s. The more recent one was Will Smith.
Yeah.
You could pull that off.
I could probably pull that one.
I could see that. Yeah, that's...
Hugh's not fitting in that bottle.
that's a, probably be too much wagging. Too much wagging, I'm dragging. Too much wagging.
It is a true story. He said before the show, I'm going to make up some new words today.
I feel like it feels like
he wasn't very concerned with that part of the conversation.
Yeah, no, he was bowing right through us. Here's my question.
Feel like a Herb called a little bit.
I did. We might have a
steamrolled us.
Yeah. I mean, we're just here. It's his show. He'll talk. I do think there is a disconnect here between everyone that tells me Jalen is a winner. But they could still win a lot of football games without Jalen. Then what is Jalen?
Yeah, people are talking out of both sides.
I mean, that's exactly what it is.
See, I think I don't think y'all understand what you are asking.
But wait, I was told Jalen was a winner before the Super Bowl, right? The winner tag has followed Jalen his whole life. That's not just because they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yet, I'm being told this morning they could win a lot without Jalen.
Well, I think you're not understanding what people are actually saying.
What I think is people deep down know this is a loaded roster. But they don't like to say that when Jalen is the subject. But when it's Tanner McKee, now it's okay.
I think we understand that it's a loaded roster. But you also understand that the quarterback is the one that makes it go. Like, he's the one that he does. He does.
Well, then how are we getting in the playoffs with Tanner McKee?
That's my point.
Because you're getting in the playoffs because, like the caller said, you're in a weak division.
I don't know about that.
Well, I do agree with that.
There was a team in the NFC title game from their division last year.
Okay, they're leaking oil.
Sleepwalking.
They don't even want to pay Terry McLaurin.
Leaking oil because one receiver's upset? It's the NFL.
The receiver that was he was the dynamic receiver.
He'll play.
You don't think about the dynamics.
You don't think about he ain't thinking about the dynamics.
Dynamics of this show are all off. 215-592-9494. Your phone call's coming up. Plus, we get back. We'll get to someone that did not have a very good night at all and what it means. And we got to talk to the guy who's been maybe his biggest fan. I think this was the guy that started the Thundercats thing. We got to talk to Hugh Douglas about his guy, Keely Ringo. What is going on here? Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
The Labor Day sale is on at the Mattress Warehouse, and it's your chance to score the lowest prices of the season. Right now, you can save up to $1,000 on best-selling mattresses from Tempur-Pedic, Beautyrest, Sealy, Purple, Casper, and more. Plus, $700 in adjustable sets. That means the adjustable base, people. That's that thing that you can use to, like, it vibrates and it has, like, if you get a nice one, it got lights on it and everything, and it kind of adjusts your headrest and all that good stuff. That's enough of that. But anyway, don't wait. Do what I did. Visit Mattress Warehouse today and sleep better tomorrow. And when you do, make sure you tell them Hugh Douglas sent you. Shop the entire selection and find the location near you at themattresswarehouse.com. Mattresswarehouse.com.